The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the parties and the politicians are continuing meetings upon meetings to move on the process of government formation. While Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael drive the process, there is some turmoil in the smaller parties, one leader saying they will only engage as a courtesy with no intention of going into government, and another having to suspend a TD before they even take their seat in Doyle Éireann. Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, is going to bring us up to speed. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How's it going?
Tricky, vocally tricky this morning, but anyway, we'll carry on. Talk to me about the Labour Party, and they were going to meet and decide whether or not they were even thinking about being a party of government or a party of opposition.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, there's a split view in the Labour Party over whether or not to go into government. That bears out of a certain wing of the party who thinks that the worst day in government is better than the best day in opposition. This is a good chance. They have 11 seats. They could be a part and be kingmakers and could actually make a difference, versus another part that thinks they've spent a decade trying to rebuild from the last time in government since the disastrous elections of 2014 and 2016. And why should they throw away all of that progress now, and that the right thing to do is to build for the future in opposition and try to form maybe a left-wing government next time around with the Soc Dems and with Sinn Féin. So there are your two points of view. And it's emerged now through the Irish Independent this morning that Ivana Bacic expressed her view at the weekend to a private meeting of the party that they would engage as a courtesy with the three larger parties, but that they didn't have a mandate as an 11-seat party to actually go into government, and that they would be very, very much a junior element of that and could well be punished for it. So it looks as though the meetings that Ivana Bacic has been having with Simon Harris and with Micheál Martin and indeed Mary Lou McDonald is definitely more of a formality. That's not necessarily all that surprising. I mean, we had been saying since the election day, I thought it would be surprising if Labour or the Soc Dems went into government, but now it's sort of formalised and they're going to meet as a parliamentary party on Friday and probably come out with that answer that, look, thanks, but no thanks, we're going into opposition.
And the logic would appear to be, look, in our programme for government, we wanted a state construction company, and that was not going to be given by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and therefore they would not get what they wanted in housing. If they're in opposition, they can say when, and they believe when, the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael housing policy fails to deliver those 60,000 houses a year, they can say, we told you so. If you'd done what we said, you could have all those houses built now.
We would have a state construction company up and running by, you know, for 3 years by the time whatever the next election comes around, and it would have been so much better had you gone with our option. Here are our alternatives, and now vote for a bigger rump of the party. But also, I mean, there is a logic to this as well, that look at what happened to the Green Party, look at what happened to Labour in the past. If you go in as a party of 11 seats, you don't have all that much influence on a coalition that doesn't really need all your votes. I mean, if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil combined were maybe high 70s instead of mid 80s, they would need the Labour Party or the Soc Dems an awful lot more than they actually do. And it's pretty clear they can get there with independence or even survive if a Labour Party were to pull out of government with the grace of independence. And so your leverage and your influence is not there. Whereas if you were to be returned in 4 or 5 years' time as a party of 20 seats or whatever it would happen to be, you'd have a lot more sway. The counter argument to that, of course, is nothing is guaranteed in politics, as we've seen with the Soc Dems in the last couple of days, and that waiting that while may well backfire on you.
Okay, let's move on to the Soc Dems and the embarrassment, the self-inflicted wound.
Remarkable. I have never seen a TD not even make it to the first sitting of the Dáil before being suspended from their party. I think it might be a first in Irish politics. And this is Owen Hayes. We were not expecting him to be elected. He was very much a surprise in Dublin Bay South. So Democrats will say he was always in with the chance, but he was very much an outside shot, even up until the last few counts 10 days ago, where he came out of nowhere on transfers and took out Chris Andrews. And now it emerges that he had worked for the technology firm Palantir, which has contracts with the Israeli military. He worked for them nearly 10 years ago, says he didn't work in any sort of military capacity. It was in the likes of IT and human resources that he worked, and as part of his remuneration at the time, he received shares. He said at a very testy and tetchy press conference yesterday, refused to sort of answer when he sold those, but said it was before he entered politics. Turned out that wasn't right, and he issued a statement yesterday evening saying, actually, it was a month after I was elected as a councillor that I divested in those shares for a price of €199,000. So he held on to those shares even after it had become very clear this year that the Palantir was heavily engaged with the Israeli military. In fact, that's part of what was pushing the share price of that company up. And through all that time, the Social Democrats had been one of the most vocal, if not the most vocal party in the Dáil when it came to criticising the war in Gaza and the Israeli military and their actions and what was going on. So a very tricky, for a party that has not really had any significant controversy surrounding one of its TDs, this is the first time that they're embroiled as such thing. And for a party that was built on the moral high ground, really, of, you know, the fallout of that Labour government with Roisin Shorthall leaving and creating this party with Catherine Murphy and Stephen Donnelly, it's pretty much a first. And part of the problem that comes with becoming a bigger party, you have more characters who maybe aren't as vetted as thoroughly as they would be were there only five or six candidates running, and now it's come back to bite them.
Now, he had not divested before he entered politics, but they were divested before he looked for a Dáil seat. And I'm just wondering how many people out there who got a nice little bonus from their company, even though he didn't work directly with the Israelis or anything like that, how many people would put their hands up and say, uh-oh, some of this cash has a taint based on Israel's behaviour in Gaza?
Yeah, it's an interesting debate, isn't it? Because you can look at it from a technical point of view and say, well, legally, you know, he did nothing wrong. It's very much a moral question of when he should have divested. He released a further statement yesterday evening when he said he was going to sit as an independent TD and try to win back the trust of his party, saying he had tried to divest of these shares earlier and had been unable to do so for administrative reasons. He didn't outline what those reasons were. So he had looked, but obviously that was several months after it became very clear that Palantir, to those who follow the company, was involved. Involved heavily with the Israeli military. And so you can question, why did he wait so long? And indeed himself, he says he regrets that and should have done it earlier on. You can also take the other side that if he had held on to them from a pure financial point of view, they would be worth nearly €300,000 more now than they were when he got rid of them in July. But he would have, I was just looking back through the Social Democrats website before coming on with you, and he got the nomination to run as a Dáil candidate on the 30th of July. So it probably would have been literally just a couple of days after he divested. So his actual campaign for the Dáil was run while they were gone, but this obviously wasn't very out there in the public. And indeed, you have others like Matt Carthy, the Sinn Féin director of elections, saying that had this been in the public domain 3 weeks ago, he wouldn't be a TD now, and his party mate Chris Andrews would have kept his seat. He's calling for him to resign, but ultimately, I don't think he will. Yeah.
There's no guarantee, though, that Chris Andrews would take up the seat or would get the seat, because a by-election, I'm sure all the parties would throw their hats into the ring in an effort to boost their own numbers. So I don't know, wasn't Geoghegan first home in Dublin Bay South? So, and Fine Gael at one point had three sitting TDs in that constituency when it was, what was it called before it was Dublin Bay South?
It was Dublin South East, was it? So, yeah, Dublin South East, yeah.
So it was, there would be no guarantee that Chris Andrews would get the seat in the event of it being vacated.
No, you'd have a very strong contender in Emma Blane for Fine Gael. Hazel Chu would be in the frame as well for that. So it's absolutely no guarantee. But I think, look, this is somewhat sour grapes from McCarthy's point of view. It was quite a narrow loss for Chris Andrews last time around. And Chris Andrews had been very, very vocal on the Gaza issue. It had been one of the things he was most vocal on during the last campaign. So I'm sure he's feeling particularly bitter over the whole thing now.
Now, the question of those numbers again, you mentioned that if the Labour Party pulled out of a government of which they were part and they've no intention of being a part, that the government might survive with the help of independents. There is that question: if the independents' price is too high, could they go it alone? They're shy a few seats for an overall majority, but which independents want to bring the House of Cards tumbling down so soon after an election? I mean, they'd be turkeys voting for Christmas. Or at least for Christmas-type expenses.
Well, but that's exactly what I was going to say. For an independent, running a campaign is incredibly expensive and can cost you, set you back anywhere between sort of $8,000 or $20,000 if you're to run a particularly big campaign. So it's not something that they would necessarily want. And it is the difficulty in going shopping for independents. If you are the government, you need to pick quite carefully. There are obviously ones that they have very long-standing relations with in Michael Lowry and in Noel Grealish and Sean Canny, people who have supported the government both from opposition benches and actually part of the coalition. So part of the difficulty is you have to tie them in in some way. So, for example, there is this suggestion that you would have Verona Murphy as the Count Corla, which takes a vote off of the opposition benches and sort of gives a reward to her. But it sounds as well as though, like, as much as they will want things locally, independents are a sort of a cheap date too. As of now, none of them are looking for a senior cabinet ministry. For example, a super junior has been talked about, and one or two junior ministries that could be rotated, similar to what we saw with the Independent Alliance in the 2016 government. And there's some who, like Michael Lowry, has absolutely no interest in a ministry. Noel Grealish has no interest in a ministry. And some of them don't want to be anywhere near that. They just want to be able to say, well, I got the ring road in Galway sorted, or I got this for North Tipperary, or whatever it is. So you just have to figure out a way of tying them in. Like, the big threat with independence over a party is, if we have some sort of big economic shock over the next couple of years because of Trump or whatever else, who's going to bolt for the hills and try to save their political skin, and who's actually going to hang around and go into the trenches and vote for an unpopular budget with you? That's your difficulty.
Okay. And finally, we should talk about the cabinet meeting today. And will there be ghosts at the feast? In other words, people who are no longer TDs, but still are ministers.
Yes, there will be. I mean, most notably, Stephen Donnelly, obviously the health minister. And we saw this last time around when we saw the ministers, social protection minister, Regina Doherty at the time, hung on for months introducing some very, very important legislation through the COVID times, long after she had lost her Dáil seat. So it is a bit of a strange cabinet. It'll be a short and somewhat a strange, maybe a last goodbye for those who are there. But the thing that kind of gets me about all this, Pat, because Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are meeting later on today. They're going to meet to start getting their negotiations properly underway after Jack Chambers and Helen McEntee met last night. And what they'll do is they'll slap the two manifestos down on the table, go through with a highlighter and highlight everything that's very, very similar or the same, and put that aside, and then get into the points of difference, Department of Infrastructure versus Department of Domestic Affairs, that kind of thing. I do not understand why this is so dragged out and why everyone is saying it's going to be at least mid-January, if not end of January, before we're anyway there. The makeup of the next government is blindingly clear in that the Sock Dems and Labour are not going to be part of it.
So it's got to be the independents. It's a tedious process, though. And just talking to some of the politicians over the last while, I mean, they actually tell me they're exhausted. Like, the campaign may have been a bit dull to us, but to them it was tooth and claw.
Tooth and claw, and really long. As much as it was a 3-week campaign in theory, most of those politicians were campaigning for at least 4 weeks before that, if not 5 weeks. Some of them took breaks from the whatever career they were in beforehand. Some of them got elected and some who didn't. They have put an awful lot of energy into this. But at the same time, it's not all politicians doing the negotiating, Pat. It's three or four at the very top level who have to hammer out the framework of an agreement. The leaders sign off on it, and then it's put to the party vote. So there's no reason I don't think we couldn't have the framework of an agreement before the Dáil it's next week, and then be voted, like, give it the Christmas to say, go away and have a think about this, and we'll vote afterwards. But for whatever reason, it's going to drag longer.
Now, we've had our elections, local elections, European elections, the general election. We have another election next year, the presidency.
God, you're already thinking ahead.
No, I'm just thinking the parties are going to have to start thinking about who they're going to nominate. And, you know, do you bring someone in from left field, or do you go for one of the old stalwarts, give them a job in the park?
Yeah, look, there's always going to be names, and there's names who are definitely already thinking about it. Obviously, Bertie Ahern's name has been thrown around for an awful long time. It looks as though that Fianna Fáil convention certainly won't be contested by Micheál Martin. He'll be too busy being Taoiseach over the next few years. So is it Bertie? Does he want it? Or is he just happy to be talked about all the time? You look at Fine Gael, Mairead McGuinness, Francis Fitzgerald. I'd say there could be a very, very fiercely fought contest there to get the nominations. And then if you look at Sinn Féin, where are they going to go? I mean, is Gerry Adams someone who is genuinely interested in it? He's often talked about, would he be too controversial a figure, or would he try to complete what Martin McGuinness failed to do a number of years ago? So it's a mad situation in Ireland, where within the space of 18 months we are going to have voted on everything we could possibly vote on, between locals, Europeans,
and referendums
and as and everything else. So it's a remarkable time for our democracy. But there will be people lining up, because it's an interesting time with the presidential, in that Michael D obviously isn't going to go again. He can't go again. And it's very, very difficult to upset a sitting president. So whoever goes now could well be there for 14 years. So I think you'll have much bigger names putting their names forward than we did last time around.
All right, Sean, thank you very much. By the way, on that business of referendums, it is dums. One of my former colleagues in RT informed me that referendum is a gerund, and therefore it is not a noun that takes the plural of a. So referendums is the plural. Anyway, thank you very much to Sean Defoe, our political correspondent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.